Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance. From God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The focus of our message tonight is on Ecclesiastes 12, our reading from just a few moments before. I'd like to highlight kind of the beginning and the end with "Remember your Creator before the spirit goes back to God who gave it." We've all heard it many times before. Use it or lose it. Sometimes it's a warning, like, hey, if you don't use that gift card by the end of the year, well, you're going to lose out on a really good meal or a nice new outfit or something like that. Lose that gift card. Other times it's kind of a justification, like, hey, you weren't using your membership, so we canceled it and you lost it. Other times it's maybe an explanation for somewhat suspect behavior. Like, hey, you weren't sitting in this seat, so you lost it. You know, the snooze you lose, shuffle your feet, lose your seat. There are a lot of variations on that one where people try to justify their action by saying, hey, you weren't doing it, so you lost it. Now, of the three forms, of course, the one we most appreciate is the warning one. You know, the one that warns us, hey, if you don't use it, then you're going to lose it, because that means we still have a chance to use it and we won't lose it, and that's important to us, especially if it has some sort of intrinsic or important value to us, especially if it, you know, might be something that we value really highly. That's enough to get, you know, some of us moving. I mean, if the value's high enough, suppose somebody comes along and says, hey, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it, and that's enough for some. You know, somebody might say something like, hey, you know, if you don't exercise, well, eventually you're going to have some problems, like you're going to lose your independence, or you're going to lose your mobility, or you're going to lose your good health, or maybe even you're going to lose your life. And then, okay, for a lot of us, that's enough to get us up and moving. But for others of us, maybe not so much. It's not until the losing it, you actually lose one thing that you really valued. And then in the next time somebody clumps along and says, hey, if you don't use this, you're going to lose. And you're like, okay, all right, I learned my lesson last time. And we make the change. Now, when King Solomon was inspired with the wisdom that's recorded in the book of Ecclesiastes, he had a near lifetime of experiences from which to offer such use it or lose it warnings. But if you look closely, these really aren't use it or lose it warnings. Probably more accurately, the approach he takes is you're going to lose it, so use it while you still can. Now, King Solomon, as I said, under inspiration, writes the book of Ecclesiastes. He also wrote Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs, as some may know it, in the book of Proverbs. All three of these books were part of what the ancients called the Megillot. Five books of the Bible, along with Lamentations and the book of Esther, that were the main sources for the readings on the five festivals of the Jewish church year. So if you think of our major festivals through the year, Christmas and Epiphany and Easter, etc., etc., they had five main festivals of the year, and those five books were the ones that were used for each of those. So, for example, in Song of Songs was used for the Passover. If you think how many times Jesus describes his relationship with his people as a groom and his bride. There's also Ruth is connected with Pentecost, which was the Old Testament harvest festival. That makes sense if you think of Boaz out there in the field and harvesting the grain and Ruth picking up from among the sheaves. Let's see, Lamentations was actually written at the fall of Jerusalem when people were carried off into captivity in Babylon. And so on the annual commemoration of that, they would read from the book of Lamentations. Esther makes sense because that is, again, the commemoration of that very event. But Ecclesiastes was for the fall festival, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Tents. It was that whole idea, among many things, that time on earth, it's limited. That we are, as we're called, sojourners here. That we have sort of this story arc of where we begin and we live and then we fade away and eventually return to the God who sent our souls into this world. And so there's this whole idea of like dying leaves and fall festival and all that tied up in this book of Ecclesiastes. You know, one of the most famous lines of in every season, turn, 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 thanks to what group?
Birds.
Is that right? This is off the cuff. This is, I'm really looking for an answer. In every season, turn, turn. Yeah, okay, you know what I'm talking about. We all know that one. But this section, maybe not so familiar with. And so, as you look at these connections through Solomon, you really begin to understand what the thought was behind all of this. The thinking is that Solomon wrote Song of Songs in his youth, Proverbs in the middle stages of his life, and Ecclesiastes comes near the end of his life after all of these experiences, and he has some things to say about what should be most important. Otherwise, how else could he so knowingly conclude right in the opening verses, I have seen all the actions done under the sun, and look, it is all nothing but vapor. It is all chasing the wind. Sounds awfully depressing. But if you look closely, you can see the rays of hope that are really shining through the what are seeming clouds of despair. Because he talks about this meaningless under the sun, but gives that implication that beyond the sun, there is something better. There is eternal hope, and eternal hope proclaimed by, as he names himself, Ecclesiastes, which means preacher, teacher, as he preaches to his people. And right from the start, he puts it all in perspective when he says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Now, chapter 12 and chapter 11, those chapter designations were something that were done way later. And sometimes they are just head scratchers on why they divided it right there. This is one of those head scratchers because it, really a better division would have been a few verses earlier at chapter 11, verse 9, when he starts talking to youths. And then it carries on into the next section through verse 7 of chapter 12. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And remember, not in just terms of, hey, don't forget that you were created. It's really more of a remember, like when Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Remember. Ponder. Meditate. Give thanks for. Proclaim, pass on, praise the one who made you and the one who has made you his. I mean, that's what we do on a night like this, right? We get to the end of the year, we think back over all the things that have happened, good and bad, highs and lows, and we give thanks for the blessings from our Heavenly Father, the hand of God in our lives as he renews his promises, as we eagerly anticipate his power and presence in the year to come, and of course the fulfillment of his ultimate promise. Because when we do that, then we can properly see the meaninglessness of this world through God's lens. That this is just a time of grace here for us on earth, a time for us to receive from the Lord, to give back to him, to give thanks for all that he's done for us in Christ, and then see it all beyond what is to come, that sure and certain hope of the eternal life guaranteed in the blood of Christ. All of that is wrapped up in that simple word, remember. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the bad comes and the years arrive when you will say, and if you have the text in front of you there, I'm just going to put it in sort of modern explanation. See if you can match up some of the imagery that's there as we go through it. And I'm just going to take it kind of verse by verse straight through. You can kind of do the matching up. So remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the bad comes and the years arrive when you will say, I have nothing to be happy about. I can't see anymore. I'm just waiting for the next bad thing to happen. I'm so tired, I just want to give up. I'm so weak, I don't have any strength left. I can't work anymore. I have no friends. No one comes to see me. I wake up early and I can't fall back to sleep. I can't hear anymore. I feel like I'm going to fall all the time. I'm always afraid of everything. There'd just be something around the corner. My hair is white, if I even have any. I have no energy anymore. I can't even stand up straight. I don't have an appetite anymore. Wow. What a celebration of the golden years, huh? Yeah, the truth of it is that there's no doubt those days are coming. And maybe they've already come to you. But even if you reach the age where all of this is happening, short of Jesus coming again, for all of us, there will be that day when it all just comes to an end, a day of mourning. And you're going to lose whatever it is you think you have under the sun. It's a pretty vivid image that he goes on to use, this idea of the silver thread and the golden bowl. What he's talking about is a golden bowl filled with oil and a wick. It was a lamp. And it would hang from the ceiling on a silver thread or a silver chain or rope. And of course, you'd fill it and you'd light it and it would just keep hanging there. But eventually, it's going to get brittle, and through vibrations and whatever else, eventually that chain is going to snap and the bowl is going to fall to the ground and it's going to shatter and go into all kinds of pieces. Both now worthless. And if that wasn't enough, he goes on to talk about an everyday thing, like just a simple well with the wheel that would, the rope would go over the wheel and the jar would be attached to the rope, and you'd lower it down and fill it, and then it would pull it back up again, but eventually that rope will come brittle and it'll snap and the jar will fall and it'll fall into the well, or it'll fall over and smash, and it's just all going to come to an end. You will lose it. So use it now by remembering your Creator. Because, and there are here rays of hope shining through those clouds of despair, because by grace through faith you are, did you see it in there? Heading to your eternal home. Guaranteed. By the very blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, sent for us and our salvation. Because when it all comes to an end in this world, we all return to dust. It is our souls, our spirits, that will go back to God who gave it in the first place. And so on a night like this, this probably doesn't feel like a very happy, very joyful message. But that's what our Lord would have us see. That our time on this earth is so short, that all of this here is really meaningless. In comparison, as Paul puts it, the glory that awaits us in Christ. That we are but sojourners on a journey from this time of grace to glory. And while we're here, we get to remember our Creator, who made us not only who we are by nature, but also has made us now new creations in Christ. That we are his new creation, created to serve God in righteousness and holiness. And in spite of all these things that may go wrong in a sinful world, because that is what we live in here, he still gives us opportunity to live and move and have our being in him, under the sun, all in anticipation of what is to come beyond it in the eternity to come. It is our place here to give thanks for what he has done in anticipation for what Christ has guaranteed. Because it's only in him that we can truly have a blessed new year. God grant it. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.